Last week when we got together, we were talking about the forgiveness of sins. And we went through, question was asked, do we have to be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ to have forgiveness of sins? Answer, no. At least some of you now believe that. But we went through 7 points in terms of looking at all these verses of Scripture on the forgiveness of sins. But the bottom line and the issue is this, is that it was God's plan, you know, for the unbeliever to not to make issue with the sins. Everybody's sins is nailed to that cross. Past, present, future, every single person in the world. The issue is no longer sins with God. The issue is the person of Christ. And the same thing is true for us as a believer. The issue is no longer the sin nature that indwells us. The issue is the person of Christ. Because as we're going through Romans chapter 6, we're finding out that when he died unto this, our sin nature, we died. He took us to the cross with him. We are dead unto the sin nature. Issue is no longer our sin nature. The issue is the person of Christ. And both for believer and unbeliever. Okay, with that as a background, in verse, what I want to do is just a very quick review, because what I want to do is go through all these verses, hit you again with what we covered, because people often tell me, how, say it again, just say it again, in terms of hearing it the second and third time, and that's true with me personally. So Romans chapter 6, verse 1, what should we say then? Shall we continue in sin, or in, there's a definite article there, remember, in fact, in almost every verse here in Romans chapter 6, there's a definite article in the word sin, so it's the sin, and it's talking about the sin nature that indwells us. So, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in the sin, the sin nature, that grace may abound? And the reason for the question was that up above in verse 20, Moreover, the law entered that the offense may abound. Where the sin nature abounded, grace did much more abound. It overflowed. So, obviously, the question is that, well, if the sin nature is abounding in sin, then therefore, and grace is superabounding, well, let's just continue in sin so that grace superabounds. Paul says in verse 2, what? May it never be so. God forbid. How shall we that are dead to the sin nature live any longer in it? So the first thing that we found in terms of us as believers, we're dead, right? We are, death means what?
Separation.
We are separated from our sin nature. Verse 3, know ye not? So then, well, let me do it this way. When we talk about these verses are talking about our identification. We saw that identification means a union, a vital union. And vital means a living union. We have vital organs like our heart. It's a vital organ. It's a living organ. In order to have life, we have to have our heart. So when we talk about our identification, same thing. And can you see that? Let me do it this way. Get the whole thing. Okay, so that's what it means, just a life-sustaining union with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we have. That's what identification means. So our identification then with Christ refers to our living union, this life-sustaining union with Christ. What we're going through now in Romans chapter 6 are these, what is called these identification truths. These life-sustaining truths with the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me say this. Romans chapter 6, Romans chapter 7, and Romans chapter 8 are the bedrock truths of Christianity for believers. We need to know the truths in Romans 6, 7, and 8 because that's where it's all at. If we don't know those truths, there's going to be very little spiritual growth because that is the key for spiritual growth. And God's purpose in our life is to transform us into the wonderful image of His Son. And the transformation process requires that we know Romans 6, 7, and 8, these identification truths. So, the bedrock. Now, in verse 3, so we're dead. We are dead with Christ. And the question is, how are we dead with Christ? What does it mean? How did that happen? Okay? How did we die with Him? And verse 3 is the answer. Know you not that as many as of us were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death. So the means of our identification or our union with Christ is what? And baptism means what?
Immersion.
Okay. So I'm going to ask the questions because I've got to find out if I'm communicating. Baptism immersed. When the moment that we trusted Christ, the moment that we believed that God put Christ on the cross and He paid the penalty for our sins, not for our sins only, but for the sins of the entire world. The moment that we trusted Christ, He immersed us, He baptized us into the person of Christ. He baptized us, immersed us in, never ever to be taken out. And remember the illustration we used. Here we were before we, as an unbeliever, not knowing Christ. We put this white handkerchief into some blue dye. Right? Blue dye represented the Lord Jesus Christ. And then here we are, right, in union with the Lord Jesus Christ. We are in union with Him. You can't separate us from Christ. You can't separate Christ from us. We're in union. So that when it says that in verse 3, know you not as many as of us were baptized into Jesus Christ. Okay? Our first immersion was into the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. What does that mean when it says that we're baptized, immersed into the person of Christ? If you think, just think for a moment, in terms of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're baptized, we're immersed into Him, into His person. Okay? There are handouts here tonight, and by the way, from last week I owed you some handouts. They're here, and so the immersion into the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, let me just say this: the means of our identification or union with Christ is by baptism, being immersed. Verse 3. Let me just go on and say this, that our spiritual baptism is so complete and so final that Scripture reveals we are baptized and immersed into the personal work of the Lord Jesus Christ and never, never, ever taken out. Right? You can never separate us from the person of Christ. What was the cause of our identification, our union with Christ. What triggered that? What happened that we were identified with the Lord Jesus Christ?
We exercised faith in Him.
Okay. That's all it took, right? It took just simple trust and faith in the person of Christ and what He did. And when we exercised that faith, we were immersed into the person of Christ. Okay. So it was our faith response. And our faith response to God's grace. Because God did everything out from His grace. It was not deserved. It was unmerited. And it was our faith response to His grace. The saving work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. As we go on and take a look at verse 3, it says we were baptized into the person of Christ. Okay? Now, what does all that entail? First of all, we're baptized or united with Him in what He did. From His death all the way through seating at the right hand of God, and His burial and His resurrection and His ascension and His seating at the right hand of the Father. We're united with Him. Whatever happened with Him happened with us because of our being united with Christ. Okay. So therefore, since we're united with Him, not only were you united with Him in what He did, but we're united with Him in what He's doing right now. Right? What's He doing right now? One of the things He's doing right now is reconciling the world to Himself. Right? And God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. And what didn't He do? Last week we looked at, He was not imputing man's sin, right? He wasn't putting man's sins into their account, and that was a proof positive that sins is a dead issue, right? Because God is not imputing man's sins into his account, because He's reconciled. And guess what? Guess what we're doing? What has God given us?
Reconciliation.
Yeah, and He's given us the word of reconciliation. And we're united with Him. We're united with Christ. And what He's doing is reconciling the world. And He uses us as vessels to give the word of reconciliation. Why? Because we're united with Him. That's what He's doing. That's what we're doing. That's what He has us to do.
Now,
yes.
Maybe it's just a man's words, but over in Romans chapter 5, verse 10, for a while we were enemies, we were past tense reconciled to God through His death and His Son. Much more, having been past tense reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And verse 11 says, we have now received reconciliation. So, I just ask the question, if Christ has already died for the sins of the world,
right,
then reconciliation has been completed.
Yes.
He's not reconciled. Reconciliation is not going on anymore.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
The last thing is finished.
It's done. It's a done deal.
Yeah.
Right. And the work of the cross was the means of that reconciliation. So that... In reconciliation, remember, we saw in this particular Greek word, there's several Greek words for reconciliation. Sometimes reconciliation, there's two parties that need to be reconciled to each other. In this particular Greek word, reconciliation is only when one party has turned away. One party is at enmity with the other party. Who needed to be reconciled?
Man.
Man needs to be reconciled. God never turned away from man. Man turned away from God. So it was man that needed to be reconciled. And so God, through the cross, reconciled man. So the door is open now. The door is open for man to come to God. And all man and all God says is that while you were yet sinners, I've reconciled you. You know? All you need to do is believe it. It's a done deal. Just believe it. That's it.
His work of reconciling, that sounds like that's an ongoing thing.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
And then what he's doing, in other words, presently reconciling the world. Like, there's a part of it that maybe not already done.
That's fair.
Is that right or not?
Yeah, no, you're right. That's a good, good. The wording is poor.
Addresses the sin singular.
Yeah. What I should say here that we're involved with giving the word of reconciliation to the world. The reconciliation is a done deal, as Paul points out. So when you, in your handouts, change this, that he's given us the word of reconciliation to tell people, done. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Good. That's wonderful. Wonderful observations. That's great. Okay. And what's he doing right now? This is something that he's doing. His work of edifying the body, the church. And we're not going to look at it. Ephesians chapter 4, beautiful passage of scripture that tells us that God has, the moment that we trusted Christ, he's given to the church, to the body, gifts, right? Gifts of pastor, teacher, evangelist. He goes through the gifts. And the purpose of the gifts is to edify, is to build up the body. And every one of us has at least one gift. And we won't go through the proof of that in Scripture, but guarantee that we all have at least one gift. And we edify each other. And it's a wonderful process, and that's how he builds up the body, through each other. Through the Word, and we minister to each other through the gifting of the Holy Spirit, and build up the body. So when it says that we're baptized, we're put in union with Christ, we are put in union with all that he has done and all that he's doing and all that he will do. That I have will do? Yeah. United him in what he will do. His future return and his reign. When he comes to set up the kingdom, we're going to return with him. This is after the rapture. We were talking about dispensations tonight here at dinner, and I've stayed away from dispensations because that's another 8 week. Sharp. He is sharp. So at any rate, we're going to be with him during his future rule and reign on earth. Okay, that's what it means when in verse 3 when it says that we're immersed or baptized into Christ. Then it goes on to say that we were baptized into Christ. We were also, in verse 3, baptized into his death, right? So, immersed into his death, never to be taken out. Who died in that death? Who is the we in terms of being identified with the death of Christ?
Amen. nature.
Okay, our old man, our old sin nature. So it's this guy, right, that was crucified with Christ, right? And it's this guy, the new creation, totally new, that was resurrected. This guy died and was buried. New creation. Therefore, as many 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Behold, old things are passed away. New things have become. Okay. So we're totally new creation. Okay. So we're baptized into his burial, into his resurrection, and as we saw in 1 Corinthians 12:13, that we were immersed by the Holy Spirit into the body. We are one body, and we were immersed into that one body, the church, Christ, who is the head. Okay. In verse 4, therefore, we were buried with him by baptism into death, purpose. That little word "that" is always introduced as a purpose clause. There's a purpose that, as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we are raised with Christ because of our identification with him, our union with him, that, and the purpose, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. Anybody remember what we said about newness of life? What is, does newness describe the kind of life? This is a test. Remember we said that newness was a noun. It's not an adjective. It's not describing life. That we should all, you could say it this way, that we should all live in newness. Just end it there for a moment. We should all live in newness. What? It's a noun. What newness is that? Okay, something that was not before. And the word is, it's a, the newness. There's two words in the Greek. One is new in time. The other one is new in quality. This is the newness in quality. That we should all live in this newness of quality. What's it talking about?
New creation.
Yes. Yeah. In 2 Corinthians 5:7, that, behold, all things become new. We are a new creation. It's talking about, and that word new there is the newness in quality. It's the same newness to that we should walk in newness. Now, the little word there of life is, without getting into the Greek, it's a genitive of source. It shows you the source of where the newness comes. The newness comes from life. And it's the life of the resurrected Lord Jesus. See? So we walk in newness, the new creation, the new nature, whose source is life, Christ's life. Okay. Verse 5. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. And we talked about that in terms of what that means, is that we have been planted together so as to grow together. We've been planted in his death and his burial and his resurrection so that we could grow together in his death, in his burial, and in his resurrection. Roger has a concert tonight, so should we excuse him?
Yes.
Oh, okay. verse 6, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Wow. One of the most important verses in terms of our identification with Christ. And just look at what it's saying. Knowing this, that number one, the old man is crucified. Right? And here is something that is critical. Did God forgive the old man? Okay. Did God forgive all the sins? Yeah. But he did not forgive the old man. When Christ died on the cross, there wasn't forgiveness of the old man. What happened when he died on the cross with the old man?
Old man was crucified.
Okay. And what could God do with the old man on the cross?
Put him to death.
And in chapter 8, in verse 3, he condemned him. He condemned him to death. The old man is condemned. He's not forgiven. So with that in mind, and we always have to make the distinction between sins and sin. And it's critical in terms of understanding Scripture, whether it's talking about sins or sin. Romans chapter 6 is talking about the sin. Romans 1 through 5 is talking about sins. And it's critical to make that distinction. And when we... I need my $2 pointer that somebody gave me, whoever gave me this. Now, I don't know if this may be a little confusing. This is Greek. but the thing is this. I've got shown here, depicted here, all that happened in our identification with Christ. But the thing is that any single person has sins, plural. Okay? Christ was our substitute for our sins. He's the propitiation for our sins, and not our sins only, but the sins of the whole world. And God is satisfied with the death of Christ for everybody's sins. And so the sins were put on to Christ, and God in turn forgave the sins. That's one aspect of Christ's death on the cross. The other aspect of Christ's death on the cross is our death with him. The fact that there was this sin nature. So the old man, here's the old man, was crucified. In fact, in the text, the word that's used is co-crucified. So that this guy, the old man, When we believed this, then we were identified with Christ. And the old man, and Christ took the old man to the cross with him. And he died unto sin, condemned sin in the flesh, so that we died, right? We were separated from the old man. However, the old man still abides within us, right? And those of you who are here for the first time, I know this is going to be confusing, but to look at it this way, that here we are, body, we have a mind, a heart, soul, in our soul, our senses, mentality. We have a will, a volition. We have a conscience. We have emotions. And as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, we can abide either over here in this sin nature, in this old frame of reference, and these two combined, I call the old man. And I just didn't want to clutter up this chart with it. And here's our new nature in Christ. So that when we believed that Christ died for our sins and we were forgiven, when we believed Christ, the person of Christ and the work of Christ, this is what happened, is that we were given a new nature and we were separated from this old nature. We now can abide one place or the other. Before we became a believer, we were hardwired over here. There was no way out, right? We were just hardwired. Okay. So hopefully that makes it a little clearer. So the old man was crucified. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Old man is the I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. The new life, the new creation we are in Christ. Because when he was resurrected, we were in union with him, and we were resurrected with him. We are a new creation. Still have the old man within us. Now, it says in verse 6 that knowing this, our old man was crucified with him, purpose that the body, that the body of sin might be destroyed.
Is it the body or our body? And is it sin? Is that the definite article there?
That the body might be destroyed. Okay. Now
our body is the body.
Yeah, it's the body. It's the body of. It's the body
of the sin.
Of the sin. And you might. And you might translate it this way: the corpse of the sin nature. You know, from God's point of view, he views the old man as dead. Views him as a corpse. So this whole corpse of sin might be destroyed. Does that mean annihilated?
Ineffective.
Okay. Yeah. And the word there in the Greek simply means something that is rendered ineffective, taken offline, rendered inoperative. You may have. Does anybody have another translation in your Bibles?
Done away with.
Okay. Done away with sounds like it's kind of permanent. You know, like annihilation. Okay. And let me say this.
Let me ask a question.